Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Boy, Jim Crane made a tough decision yesterday. He made it about, 22 hours ago. Jim Crane, man, 26 hours ago, actually, made the decision to fire A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow amidst the scandal, the cheating scandal involving the Houston Astros. Bill O'Brien said that he hadn't met with Cal McNair yet. Jim Crane can make that tough decision. What tough decisions does Cal McNair need to make? If and when, and it could have already happened, it just hadn't happened when B.O.B. was at the podium yesterday. What tough decisions, if you were Cal McNair, if you were advising Cal McNair, would you make when meeting with Bill O'Brien following the end of the Texans 2019 season?
I think the big thing with Cal McNair, and I'm not trying to cop out here.
Oh, gosh. You're going to sit on the fence?
Well, no, I'm not going to sit on the fence. But sometimes until he shows or says something to you about how he's going to handle particular situations, you don't know.
No, and that's why I think it's so crazy that, at the end of the day, he's the one who decided to fire Brian Gain, right? I mean, he's the one that signs off on it, right?
Yeah, but
we didn't know he had that in him. So why do we assume that he doesn't have it in him to make the tough decisions and oversee his head coach? You know what I mean?
Because I think the head coach has just convinced him one way or another, him being Cal McNair and Janice McNair, by the way, that he's got it. He's got this thing covered. I mean,
But Cal's watching football. He sees what we see, right?
Cal played football. Cal played college football.
Yeah, he was at UT.
Yeah.
But what is he seeing? I mean, knowing that he's played football, he's seen football, he sees the same stuff we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sees what happened in Kansas City. He's seen what happened. Like, he saw Bill O'Brien get a 24-point lead and then pee down his leg.
Right.
I mean, kick a field goal to go up 24 and then fake the punt and then just the offense just disappear.
Isn't there a difference, though, because when he fired Brian Gain, I don't think he felt like he could fire. One of them had to go, and it was a lot easier because it wasn't going to be Bill O'Brien.
Right, especially that close to the season getting rid of a coach. Right. Did one of them really have to go, though?
Well, apparently, there are rumors that, you know, these yelling matches and this intimidation.
I've heard they've almost come to blows.
That's exactly what
I've heard from credible people that B.O.B. has almost come to blows with Brian Gain.
Right.
So, yes.
Right, right. So that's what I'm saying. So if we reached that point, he couldn't fire Bill O'Brien, so the decision was made for him. Rick Smith obviously had his wife had some health issues and didn't have a very good relationship with Bill O'Brien. So ultimately that was going to come to an end. And the decision was made for him there, too, because of Rick Smith's situation and the fact that that he couldn't get along with Bill O'Brien. So all these decisions were kind of made for Cal McNair.
That's fair.
Now he's going to have to make a decision himself.
Okay. That's fair. Then let's do this. Mm-hmm. Since you don't know, and I think that's a fair answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very fair answer because we really don't. You know, this is the first time that Cal McNair in a full season has to sit down and evaluate his squad and make the decisions that that people in his position make. So that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do this.
Here's the thing, just real quick. I think the difference is Cal McNair has made a lot of decisions that he had to make. This is going to be one that he wants to make.
Okay. Well, let me do this. Let's not say what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say what should, and let's let me be Bill O'Brien and you be Cal McNair. Little role play here.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me, if you were Cal McNair, what you would say to me right now if I'm Bill O'Brien and I walk in your office.
You're Bill O'Brien?
I'm Bill O'Brien.
And I'm Cal McNair.
You're Cal McNair. Go ahead.
I'm processing all my thoughts.
Hurry up. For a Hurry up. I got places to be.
You're fired.
No.
Okay, that's a great point. Okay, this is how I
talk to me. Tell me what you would tell me if you were Cal.
If I were Cal McNair, I'd say, Bill, let's get right to it. All right? Where did you fail this year in terms of getting to the next level?
I don't know. I don't know.
Look at the statement.
Got to be better.
That's not a satisfactory answer.
I don't know.
You got to get better?
I don't know.
Relative to?
No, I don't know.
Do you feel like you need to, that you're doing, there's too much on your plate?
No.
Do you need a general manager?
I don't know.
Well, I oversee it. We got great guys. We got Jack Easterby. I got, Matt Bazergan. The cafeteria workers are great. We got tough, smart, dependable players. And relative to the organization, I feel like we're heading in the right direction.
Do you feel like you need someone to call plays for you this year?
No.
Hell no.
No.
Here's the most important question.
No.
How?
Have you ever worked in the NFL?
Yes, I own
That's
a team.
That's kind of the deal in pro football.
Yes, I own a team. How can you assure me that we're not going to be sitting here in a year having the same discussion?
I don't know. We just have to get better each day. You just got to stack up days. I got to coach better. Players got to play better. Everyone's got to be more accountable. I got to look at the cafeteria in the offseason, the cafeteria food, see what's going on. I mean, just got to be better.
You know what's funny and sad at the same time?
This sounds like the exact way the conversation would go.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
I'll tap for an answer.
All right, let me tell you what Cal McNair should say. If I were Cal McNair, we know that what the McNairs have done for football in Houston is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
Class acts all the way around. And this is unfamiliar territory. He's never done this.
Right.
This is what you need to do. This is what you need to say to Bill O'Brien. This needs to be reality with Cal McNair, what he needs to say. Bill, you're not liked in this town. And it's not personal, but whether we're talking about 20-year-olds, whether we're talking about 80-year-olds, you are not well-liked in this town. The bottom line, the cake, like the foundation of the dislike, is the fact that three teams in this conference have been to the AFC Championship the last 3 years. Not any of those teams have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. We've won division titles. We've talked about division titles. But the last 2 years that we've won the division title, a team with a less experienced coach has advanced further in the playoffs than you. The two division titles before that, the rest of the division was 36 and 60.
Mm-hmm.
This is not where we want to be. I'm about to have to write a check for Deshaun Watson. I'm going to pay him damn near $40 million a year. The offense, with all these
and
moves
Laramie
that we
Tunsil.
Made, I let you make all these moves on offense, and we average the same amount of yards, less amount of points, exact same passing yards, and less rushing yards, and we played better defenses last year. So the offense is not going very well. We're going to change things around here. I do not trust you to run the organization. I want you to focus on coaching. So what I'm going to do, I tried to get Nick Caserio before. I'm going to try to get Nick Caserio. If that doesn't work out, then I'm going to have a GM who is going to oversee all football operations. He is going to be the guy that you answer to along with Jack Easterby. That's the decision. As far as the offense goes, I know you got Tim Kelly, but the offense hasn't made the strides that it needs to make, so I'm going to let that GM be in charge of who he wants to bring in with the offense. If it's Caserio, he's already been in Brady meetings, so he might have an idea. So we're going to have someone from the outside with an outside voice, not someone who was one of your grad assistants at Penn State. He's going to come in and oversee this offense. The defense, it was a disaster. You said Romeo Crennel's back. That is not the case. Romeo is 72 years old. He's moving on. We're promoting Anthony Weaver to defensive coordinator. Brad Seeley, special teams coordinator, can stay. But that's how it's going right now. That's how it's going to be. I'm not going to give you the power. We still trust you to be a football coach. You are in charge of coaching. That is your focus right now. You couldn't get along with Gain. You couldn't get along with Rick Smith. You're going to have to get along with this guy, or else we're going to have to move on because your seat is a little bit warmer than it was. Thank you very much. Leave my damn office.
Now, listen, Landry, that's well thought out, probably good ideas, but I still think that's a Band-Aid. I mean, you hate to like just call for someone to be fired. I mean, that's not our place. We certainly talk about what we think and where they are.
Well, I don't know if BOB would accept it. That's part of the reason you lay it out there.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
And I should have finished with, if you're not going to accept that, peace.
Yeah.
Peace, buddy.
Yeah.
Peace, homie.
Because I think that's a Band-Aid.
Mike Vrabel's in the AFC Championship his second year. Frank Reich beat you and eliminated you from the playoffs 1 year later. He lost his quarterback, or he could be right there. So, yeah, the foundation is set. Coaches with less experience in this division. Oh, by the way, Doug Marrone's coached less than you, and he went to an AFC title 2 years ago with Blake Bortles. They've done it. So if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to coach on the hot seat this year, peace out.
Not only is that, I think it's just a Band-Aid. I think it'll get you right back to where you were with Rick Smith and right back to where you were with Brian Gain. Doesn't play well with others. I mean, Bill O'Brien, you know, if he were in preschool and he just refused to get into circle time and listen to the teacher read the book, you know, that'll note home. He's pinching people. You know, he's arguing with other kids. He just doesn't play well with others, and that's the problem. That's where Cal McNair has to, you know, put his foot down, or at least have a decision that I think will put some accountability, some real accountability.
You can't just do nothing.
No,
like you can't just let him oversee
Bill
that.
Bill O'Brien, as we've seen in all his comments,
like it seems like just there.
Nobody holds him accountable.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
He holds him accountable.
If it's Bill Belichick, okay.
Yeah.
If it's Sean Payton, okay.
Bill Parcells.
It's Bill O'Brien.
John Harbaugh.
It's Bill O'Brien, bro. Like, come on, man. Let's go to the phone line, 713-572-4610. Let's go to Mickey. Mickey, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I really miss y'all, and I do want you to know you still have time. My birthday is Friday, so.
Okay. Noted.
Hey, I got six things, and I'll hang up and listen. And just so you know, I wasn't trying to be rude yesterday. My cell phone battery went dead. I was on hold so long because I know it was pro birthday of adding callers. But I got 6 points, and I want to hang up and listen. First point on Deshaun Watson's interview, I bet when he hung up, or when that was done, I bet his mama called him and said, son, what are you thinking? You need to get the heck out of Texas and get with the coach that's not trying to have you killed. So, but going forward, the two plays, the fourth and one, where Bill O'Brien said he didn't have a play and he's got one of the top three best quarterbacks. If I was management, I would have fired him just on that comment. How long does he have to be here? And then the fake punt. Bill cannot make decisions under pressure because had he run the play pretty quick, we might have got it. But when, you know, they went slow and they messed up. Kansas City was saying, man, something's up here. So there was no surprise. So Bill cannot take pressure. But anyway, this bad coaching and then the interviews, whenever I listen to his interview, it's like talking to an ex-wife. You're always pissed off because he won't answer direct questions. He lost that game. Now, we may have won, but where he messed up is when it was fourth and one and he didn't go for it, where it could have been 28-0. That may have been the key to keep the game close, but he didn't. He opted for the field goal. But I'll hang up and listen because they should fire him. And I like your new phraseology of management doesn't have the coconuts. I like that. But I want to leave you with a fun one that I heard about the national championship game, and that is – the New Orleans newspapers are reporting that a lot of people dressed in purple are leaving a lot of street omelets on the road. I'll hang up and listen.
Mickey. Dude, you had to end it like that. Come on, man. 713-572-4610 to get in. What should Cal McNair say to Bill O'Brien when they met, or what should he have said? And how do you feel about this Astros cheating scandal? Was justice served? That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Lynch and Luno fired. Bill O'Brien still running strong. King Bill is still alive. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. John, was justice served by Jim Crane yesterday in regards to the Astros? Was the punishment too steep? And did he overreact by firing the best GM and best manager in Stroh's history?
It really was frustrating knowing that they were.
That was a sigh of disappointment.
That was a big one, man.
Are you okay?
It hurt me.
You need a hug, dude?
It hurt me, but then you have to start.
You know, John, I'll be honest with you. Like,
it was a Bill O'Brien sigh? Because I think it was. It just pains me to say that. But I also think Astros fans, as you know, irritating as it is, need to be encouraged by the fact that at least this happened. At least you pulled the Band-Aid off. That's the second consecutive segment I used the Band-Aid reference. You pulled the Band-Aid off. It's done. Because had you just kind of accepted it as a, you know, and been remorseful, yes, and been held, you know, hold yourself responsible for it, yes, but you still had those suspensions, and they weren't fired, it would have been hanging over your head forever. And how difficult would it have been to bring them back? Like if you just accepted the suspensions and you're going from ballpark to ballpark, you know, it's the same thing. Jeff Luno's getting asked about it every year, if not multiple times every year. Same thing with AJ Hinch. There's always a little question. There's a little, people are wondering, are they doing it? Are they still doing it? At least this way, it's done. You should be proud of your Houston Astros owner, Jim Crane. The level of respect I got for him is so much higher than it's ever been. Just because that was tough to do. He was choked up doing it. These are the people that he worked with every day. But I think it was the right decision.
I had no problem with the decision. And I think people saying that the Astros World Series is tainted, I know John McClain said it, maybe outside of Houston, but I think in Houston we know what happened. But I will say this, and I think this might be something nobody's talking about in regards to just the cheating that the Astros allegedly did. And
nobody's,
we can sit there and have like home road discussion, and we can say they did this on the road, we did this at home. We don't really know like overall how they cheated, but assuming they did what they did, and obviously they did it, I think that form of cheating is worse than steroids. I think if we are talking about, and I don't even care about steroids, but as far as what they were doing, that's worse than taking steroids, because when you take steroids, you still have to go up there. You have to recognize what pitch is coming, which is the hardest part of batting. I think most batters in the big leagues, if they know what's coming, they're going to be able to hit it at a pretty high level. Mm-hmm. But you still have to go up there. You have to figure out what's coming, and you still have to put in the work when you do the steroids. You're still going to have to go lift weights. You're still going to have to get your body right, and you're still going to have to do the hardest thing in the world, which is hit a baseball, which if you do it 30% of the time, you're successful. If you go up there and you just know what's coming,
that's a way bigger
advantage than taking steroids to me. If we're getting technical, I don't know how this is going to impact, like, you know, when Altuve, when Correa, Bregman, all these guys get ready to be inducted into the Hall of Fame or voted on. But if you are a baseball writer, baseball writers, don't get me started on these guys, because a lot of them are crusty fossils and they're closed-minded. But if you are a baseball writer and you frown upon steroids, to me, you have to frown even more upon what the Astros allegedly did.
You're 100% right. This was, I mean, baseball told you what they thought of it. You know, I mean, they banned a manager and a general manager of a World Series team that had won the World Series two years previous. This was the beginning of a dynasty. The window has closed now, and baseball helped close it because baseball believes that sign stealing, as good as they were, as talented, as much work as they put in, baseball believes that stealing those signs the way they did it, you know, premeditated, planned, organized, helped them win those World Series and get to the World Series.
Just the World Series, just one.
Well, win the World Series and get to the World Series is what I'm saying. The two that they had. This is bad. Pete Rose said yesterday that this is worse than anything he ever did.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's the worst form. I think it's some of the worst form of baseball cheating. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. If we're just talking about the advantage that you're getting, if you know what's coming, and again, not every Astro did, but the ones who did, if you know what's coming, that's a bigger advantage than steroids. It's 100%. And the other thing is this. As I look back on this, let's say 5 years from now, the Astros are competitive, but they only win one World Series. I'm going to look at this era of Astros baseball as a disappointment.
Unfulfilled.
And it's just based on the expectations that you set for a team. There are some teams that if they win one championship, you tip your cap to them, and that's awesome. But this was a special group of guys. You know, this was
young.
You had two guys battling for the Cy Young, John.
Yeah.
You were pretty much dominating the All-Star team. You got swept 1 year, and then you lost in the World Series in Game 7 in heartbreaking fashion after the owner was writing all these checks and you were making all these trades. I just feel like the talent on this team was multiple World Series talent. So I'll look back on it and I'll remember the fondness and the bond that we had watching the Houston Astros whenever they won the World Series after Harvey and all that type of stuff, and how likable they are. And I still think these guys are likable.
Well, sure.
But I'm going to look back on this. If the Astros only get one World Series and that one World Series is the but that everybody else outside of Houston has to say. And I'm going to say this was a disappointing run in Astros history. It might have been the best ever, but I don't think it reached its full potential, which is what I think you judge teams on, is their full potential.
You were equipped to make three, four, maybe five runs at it. young players that you had the money to sign and were going to come back, that you developed, the majority of whom you developed in your system. You had the manager at the top of his game. You had a general manager that was evaluating talent and bringing it in. And you end up with one championship out of all that. It's a huge disappointment.
Major. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on a Tuesday, Sports Radio 610. Lots going on around town. Astros, Texans, all kinds of stuff going on. Oh, by the way, the Rockets are playing some pretty decent basketball. Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Lou. Lou, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Hey, a little bit of Astros talk. Tough day yesterday in Houston, no doubt. I don't want to get into what I think is still a slippery slope on stealing signs that has happened for 100 years. These guys, they were told by Major League Baseball. They still did it. They took technology to another level. But what I wanted to ask you guys, and I'll make a comment, I'll ask a question and get off. I think that Jim Crane's decision to fire those guys was actually pretty easy, probably.
Oh, cut off.
He was doing his thing. Sorry, Lou, we lost you. Mm-hmm. But he basically saying it was an easy decision for Jim Crane to make. I don't think so.
Now, on a personal level, absolutely not. Now, maybe from a business side, because of what I just said, you're like, okay, done. We're moving on as of today. That you get the suspensions, and then the same day you fire the two guys involved, you're like, okay, we're moving on. Now, you still got a season to worry about, and a manager and a general manager, even though Crane's going to kind of act that way this year, apparently, to get those. But it was tough on him personally. I think business-wise it was, and baseball-wise it was smart.
Yeah, it was smart. And let's be honest. I mean, as far as a manager, I don't know that there aren't too many managers that wouldn't be able to at least compete with this Astros team with the way it's built right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like coaching. The game plans are pretty much the same. You have the scouting reports.
You still have bench coach.
You still have Bregman. You still have Correa. You still have Altuve. You still have Gurriel. You still have Justin Verlander. You got McCullers coming back. You got Springer. I mean, you still have a good ball club. It's going to be the same guys. It actually makes me root for him a little bit more now because I think the Astros have been through the ultimate adversity. But, my gosh, what a rough 3 months it's been. I just remember after Altuve walked it off against Aroldis Chapman,
mm-hmm.
I drove down the street to Academy Sports and Outdoors, and, dude, it looked like the new Tickle Me Elmo was being released in the 90s or something like that at Toys R Us. It was wrapped around the building. Astros fever was crazy. You were anticipating another World Series. Then all of a sudden the report comes out about Brandon Taubman. Brandon Taubman gets fired. And then all of a sudden the meltdown. You don't win a single home game in the World Series. A.J. Hinch, what's the bet in the seventh inning? Brings in a gassed Will Harris. Boom, you lose the World Series. Then all of a sudden this cheating stuff picks up. And now here we are.
Mm-hmm.
After that, just a few months after that moment that we felt when Jose Altuve walked it off. And I know you remember where you were.
Yeah,
that was
I do.
A where you were moment.
Yeah, I do.
And look where you are now. Look where you are now, man. Look where the heck you are now. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. Life comes at you fast. Let's play a little bit of word association with the Astros and with Bill O'Brien. One word to describe the Astros and one word to describe Bill O'Brien. Word association on In the Loop continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. Let's play a little word association here on In the Loop. One word to describe Bill O'Brien and one word to describe the Astros situation. This is always scary when we open it up like this, Figgy. You never know what's going to come out. But one word to describe B.O.B. and the Astros cheating situation, 713-572-4610. And again, you got to be radio friendly. You don't need to use the dump button. I'm shocked, Figgy, that the last 2 days I haven't had to use the dump button. I've been pissed off, man. Like, I haven't been able to sleep. I feel helpless. I feel just lost with the way in which things are going with the Houston Texans. I feel like Bill O'Brien's accountability isn't being questioned. I just feel helpless. And then with this Astros thing, it almost feels like you just throw a whole nother emotion in it. So you have the helplessness with Bill O'Brien, and then when the Astros thing comes in, it just seems a little bit surreal. Like, it just seems kind of like a blur. Like, a lot of times when a news bomb drops, you're like, holy crap. But the Astros thing just didn't really hit me. And I don't know why it didn't punch me in the face. Like when Brian Gain was fired, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
When the Astros traded for Zach Greinke, I was like, wow. But the whole Hinch thing and all that, amidst all of my helplessness with B.O.B.,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it hasn't hit me or if it's just been such a blur that I'm just kind of, I can't fit this many emotions in my dark soul, John.
It was a day, man. I mean, it was a day, no doubt about that. The other thing, you knew this was coming. I think most people just didn't think the second part was coming. Because you, like when you heard about the suspensions, all right, I'm like, wow. But I wasn't like shocked, like the Brian Gain thing, like you just talked about. But then when Jim Crane, you know, said that's it, and I've relieved him and sat there, and I think there was also a bit of drama to how he did it. One chair, one table, a bottle of water.
Badass. Just a badass. Right. Jim Crane's a badass.
One chair, one table, bottle of water, boom, right to it.
Yep.
It's like he was doing radio, you know, get right to it.
And he was so firm. He was so firm with his delivery that nobody even really questioned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he was content with his decision. He was facing the questions. It wasn't a release statement. And people were just content with it. What if Cal McNair, when he meets with Bill O'Brien, makes that decision and he goes up there and just says, we want better? How popular? It just rank of all the popular figures in this town. Where would Cal McNair be if he made a tough decision similar, not identical, but similar to what Jim Crane did?
That's how you know that Cal McNair is all in with Bill O'Brien. Why? I have no idea, but that he's all in. Because if he was all about, you know, making a statement, you know, a big statement, not like the Brian Gain one, and becoming the most popular man in Houston, he would make the move. Because he would become the most popular owner in Houston if he did that. Would he not?
I was talking to someone that works in radio yesterday just about this, and I've been in different cities. I've been in some polarizing places with some very suspect coaches. I've never seen a lower approval rating.
Never. Ever.
I've never seen a lower approval rating.
Full disclosure, I got late to the studio coming back on this last break.
Well, we're going to keep that a secret, but okay.
But because somebody stopped me and said, dude, what's the latest? And I'm like, come on. Yeah, it's like everyone in town. Bill O'Brien is the most, not even polarizing, he's the most disliked.
I'll just say this right
now. Polarizing means that there's both sides.
The fact that we are where we are, and the fact that we know what happened, and the fact that I feel this helpless, and I feel like there might not be an offensive coordinator, there might not be a GM, and this is just going to continue.
Yeah.
Do you feel helpless too? Before I ask you this question?
Yes.
Okay. Then does part of you just kind of wish that maybe Buffalo would have won that game?
No, because I think this is worse. If you're like, if you want to get to the point, well, okay, two things. If you're convinced, and I said it yesterday and you didn't disagree with me, you cannot get there with Bill O'Brien. If you're convinced of point A.
I mean, there's too much evidence that says you can't.
Mm-hmm. It's like an algebra equation.
I mean,
if such and such is true, then this is also true. If it's true to you and me and all our listeners that you can't get there with Bill O'Brien, then it's also true you want to get to the point that convinces Cal McNair of that as soon as possible.
Wouldn't the Buffalo loss have done that?
Because I think this one ultimately was worse. Because I think those three judgment calls
plus
that he made.
Buffalo was also obvious that it was all Deshaun.
Correct. And I think those three, you know, brain locks that he had on the field goal, the fake punt, and then not knowing that you need to go for it.
Oh my gosh.
In the fourth quarter.
Oh my gosh.
I think people's jaws collectively dropped and said, seriously, we're still doing this.
Plus Vrabel. I think Vrabel adds to it.
Plus
too.
Vrabel. But we're still here. We're still doing this. And that's why I asked McLean, and that's on sportsradio610.com, and you'll be able to hear it if you want to on the broadcast there. Based on what? How did we? Why is Cal McNair and the Houston Texans ownership convinced that they are going in the right direction?
I honestly think
mm-hmm.
that there's more to come on this.
You said that yesterday.
I think that there's more to come on this. Yeah. I don't think we can with 100% certainty say it's just going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
McClain's there more than me, but I'm just standing by, peeping the scene.
I mean, I hate to say it. I like my team more than I like Bill O'Brien having a job and somebody losing their job. But I hope you're right. You know. And that's what I'm saying.
If you want to convince
ownership that everybody in this city, the majority of people in this city, don't think you can get there with Bill O'Brien as the head coach, then you want to get to that breaking point as soon as possible. And I think the Kansas City gaffes that he made, the mistakes and just brain farts that he had, get you there a little sooner. I really do.
I mean, I just don't see how it can be like this. It's crazy, man. Like, it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
People that just, I know for a fact, casually watch football, like they're kind of sort of Texans fans, are talking about this. I mean, here's the other thing. Let's play a little, the
Texans, by the way, have become a joke.
How so?
I mean,
not John, as an organization.
No, they've become a joke.
How?
I mean, not
as an organization.
As an organization, they do their thing. Jamie Roots, all those guys, they do their thing. But, I mean, Barstool Sports.
Oh, a punchline is what you're saying.
PFT commenters watching the Clemson game, and Dabo Sweeney punts inside the 50, and he goes, Bill O'Brien's heart just sank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, PFT commenter. That's a kid. That's like a millennial guy. He's doing it. Then you have other national spots. I want to say First Take was making jokes about it. Like, nationally,
no. If you mean
in every outlet, from the millennial outlet
right.
to the traditional outlet, the Texans have become a punchline because of their loyalty to Bill O'Brien.
If that's what you mean, absolutely, 100%.
Obviously, punchline joke. You know what I mean? Like the franchise is becoming butt of a lot of jokes.
Yeah, there you go. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Let me play a little game of what if here. What if the Houston Texans start 1-3 next year?
Then they're just going to, I mean, now what, have any changes been made or is everything the same?
No, Bill O'Brien is the head coach. Everything is the same.
So he's calling
general
plays
manager,
too? He's calling plays and
calling
everything?
Plays with this, you know, Tim Kelly as the air quote offensive coordinator.
And they start out 1-3.
John McClain.
Is Romeo still here?
No, you have a new defense coordinator. We'll say Anthony Weaver, okay? But regardless, John McClain said not only does he not think Bill O'Brien will be fired this year, he doesn't think he'll be fired next year. At least 2 years, two seasons. Well, one full season from now. So 1-3 and Bill O'Brien.
I didn't want to think about that,
everything
man.
Is pretty much the same.
I didn't want to think about that.
What is going on in this city?
I mean, I don't know. Do people tap out? I don't think so. They love their Texans, and the guys in this locker room are so well liked.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a well liked team. I don't know. I think people just.
But you're back on the gerbil wheel, man. You're back running.
Wheel.
Yeah, you're back on the gerbil.
I mean,
wheel.
Honestly, like, and it's likely. I mean, there's a lot of good teams that don't make the playoffs the next year. I mean, you're not going to have Andrew Luck retire the week before the season or two weeks before the season. You're not going to have Jalen Ramsey whine his way out of Jacksonville. I mean, the Titans are going to have a little bit of momentum. I don't know how they're going to handle the Derrick Henry situation, but, I mean, you're not going to get this card dealt all the time. J.J. Watt's going to be a year older. Like, it's.
Let me give you another one.
If they don't make the playoffs, if I felt like it was the right coach, like Sean McVay didn't make the playoffs this year, do I think he sucks? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simplistic like that. So I would be fine with it. A lot of good coaches don't make the playoffs. I'm just not sure. I don't think we have a very good coach here.
What if you start the season 4-4? But the Titans are 6-2.
They're just going to ride it out, and it's going to become miserable for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for the people in that building. And let me just reread this from John McClain's column. If it does happen, let me just reread this. This is a Bill O'Brien article. This is the craziest thing to me. Is he's got all this power, and normally whenever someone gets power, you assume he must be a charmer. He must know how to charm the pants off him.
Yeah.
My goodness. This is John McClain's story from the Houston Chronicle. He's basically talking about the foundation, the structure of the Texans. He's talking about the coaching staff, all that. And in the middle of that, he puts this in here. O'Brien also needs to take a long look at his temper. There are very few who haven't felt his wrath when he blows a gasket. Anger management is something he needs to work on unless he wants many of those around him to continue to walk on eggshells, wondering when his next outburst will come.
Yeah,
this
great.
Is a 50-year-old.
Yeah, I guess so, John.
This is a 50-year-old.
50-year-old man.
50-year-old man.
Needs to work on his potty mouth.
Making people uncomfortable.
It's...
Making people uncomfortable.
About that?
You're the only you lead the only team the last 6 years. You lead the only organization that hasn't been to an AFC championship in their division. You have the best quarterback.
Yep.
And you have all the power. And that's what people feel like when they walk around the building. That's John McClain's words. That's a quote. That's not me making anything up.
And just as a side note, nobody should work.
And that's not the reason why. Why is because of
what
the lack of success.
Right, right. I'm glad you pointed that out because
that's just icing.
This is something about Bill O'Brien that has to do with his decision making that has not improved, his playoff record which has not advanced, the what we're seeing on the field with this team in terms of development of a truly great franchise quarterback as it compares to those of his peers. That's what this is all about. But as a side note, nobody should have to work in that environment, ever. No one should have to work for a bully that intimidates and flies off the handle, according to this report by John McClain, and yells at people.
And quite honestly, if that is the case, and John McClain wouldn't say it if he didn't know it, like there's a lot of stuff that you can be wrong on.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say that right. If it wasn't the case.
Especially because it was like a drive-by in a story that was about something altogether different.
But based on that,
mm-hmm.
I mean... What am I supposed to think about Rick Smith and Brian Gain?
I mean, you kind of like understand now, right? I mean,
it's just crazy.
Brian Gain had a good year.
Cal, if you're listening, 713-572-4610.
I'd love to just sit down with Cal.
We love
right
you.
Here in this studio. Just say the day and we'll make it happen.
We love everything that you've done for this city. We love everything that your family's done for this city. I believe in you, Cal.
Yeah.
Make some sort of changes. You don't have to be extreme. Just make some sort of changes. Love.
I'll go with the statement again. Andrew. I stand by the statement that Cal made.
Okay. 713-572-4610.
So one word, huh?
Word association. One word to describe Bill O'Brien. One word to describe the Astros. Pave text, go.
Bill O'Brien, genius. Astros, historical.
All right, whatever. Daryl, go ahead. Word association. One word to describe Bill O'Brien. One word to describe the Stros. Some sort of
change. Bill O'Brien, suck. .. Astros, embarrassment.
Wow. He's emotional right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Stros.
I'm going to say awful and awful.
Awful and awful.
Yeah,
wow.
In different ways.
Well, the Astros got to be
yeah, but in
awful.
Different ways.
Let's go to Haiku Julio. Haiku Julio, word association. One word to describe the Stros, one word to describe B.O.B.
Sorry, guys, I'm going off script. This is what McNair should tell O'Brien when he walks in. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers. You think I'm effing with you? I'm not effing with you. I'm here from downtown. I'm here from the fans of Houston, and I'm here on a mission of mercy. Your name is O'Brien. You call yourself a head coach, USOB? You've got talent. The Texans paid for that talent. Call plays to close the games. You can't close games? You're crap. Hit the bricks because you are going out.
God, I love this.
Man, Haiku.
Glengarry, Glenn Ross, one of my all-time favorite movies.
No idea what that
means.
You
see this watch? This watch is worth more than your car.
No idea what that means. You know, there's something wrong with guys like you.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever someone says they don't know what a movie is, for some reason, people like John Lopez just decide they're going to use every single line in the movie.
To maybe jog your memory. I don't do that without purpose.
I don't know what that movie is.
I bet you've seen it.
Bill O'Brien. Stubborn, but more importantly, the Astros, still champs.
Okay, that was two words, but
champs.
I get your point there. All right, you're on In the Loop. Word association.
Yeah, about those. Bill O'Brien, douche. Astros, no segue.
No segue.
Is that three words?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, come on.
What are yours?
Trace words? My word to describe Bill O'Brien?
Mm-hmm.
Douche.
Mine is king.
That guy called Bill O'Brien a douche. That's pretty personal, man.
It's pretty personal.
We're not supposed to personally attack.
Astros would
You're calling him king?
King. He's king. He's King Bill. Astros would be tainted.
All right. One word to describe Bill O'Brien for me, Enron. one word to describe the Astros. Fine. They're fine. They'll be okay.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Enron, you get it like fraud? You get it? Did you get it?
I got it.
Yeah. Okay.
I got it.
All right. Just making sure. Yeah. All right, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead. Word association.
As expected, not expected.
That's two words, bro.
That's okay. Maybe he hyphenated them. As expected and unexpected. Unexpected is one word.
Sagan, help us out, man. Play by the rules.
Man, Bill O'Brien, crucify, martyrs.
Mortar. Oh, martyrs.
Yeah.
Martyrs and Bill O'Brien, crucify.
Hmm.
All right, word association on In the Loop. One word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs.
Governor, shot.
You say, what was the first one?
I wasn't sure.
Governor?
I sounded drunk.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you're on In the Loop. Word association, one word to describe the Strohs, one word to describe B.O.B.
Christmas Melvin here.
Uh-oh.
Bill O'Brien, dumbass. The whole Jim Crane thing with Astros, heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's a good one. We haven't heard that one yet.
Melvin, you're about to be a father, man. You got to watch your language.
Christmas Melvin.
Gosh. All right, one word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs.
Bill O'Brien, deplorable. Astros, mulligan.
Mulligan. Okay, I see you like my golf game. All right, you're on In the Loop. One word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs.
Memorable. The Astros are always be memorable, and I'm always going to remember how stupid.
Bro, that's like 600 words. What are we doing, bro? Like, come on, man. What are we doing? I didn't ask for an essay.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? One word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs.
Get rid of B.O.B. Go get Eric Bieniemy and Strohs.
Come on, bro.
Bieniemy. If we're going to hire him, let's get it right.
Bieniemy.
Yeah.
God, that'd be awesome. Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. He was calling plays for the Chiefs in the second half.
Yeah, he was.
Did you think that they looked pretty good?
Eric sleeping with Bieniemy.
Come on, man.
That's what he called him.
Come on, dude.
When he played. That's what, what's his name, his nickname?
Come on, dude.
It was.
Come on.
It's not my, it wasn't what I said.
One word to describe the Strohs, one word to describe Bill O'Brien. Go ahead.
Bill O'Brien, Madoff. As in Bernie.
Yeah, we know.
One word to describe the Strohs, one word to describe B.O.B.
B.O.B. co-owner, Astros Dynasty.
Is co-owner considered one word since it's hyphenated?
You can hyphenate it.
One word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs. Go ahead.
Bandeco.
No. We probably don't want to.
We cussed in Spanish?
Yeah, we did.
I'm glad you was paying attention.
Can you cuss in Spanish?
I just dumped it just in case.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're just being safe?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's probably good.
It was funny.
One word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs. Go.
B.O.B. Suspect. The Strohs victim.
See, I got to give him credit. I would say that the delivery took too long, but I think he was going to cuss.
Mm-hmm.
I think he caught himself. Shout out to the loopholes. Mm-hmm. All right, one word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs.
Go.
Choked it, man.
Yeah.
One word to describe B.O.B., one word to describe the Strohs. Go.
B.O.B., unemployed, Astros, excessive.
Accepted.
All right, one word to describe each. Go ahead.
All right, you're looking at Hiroshima and Chernobyl.
Hiroshima and Chernobyl.
Self-inflicted was Chernobyl. I get it. I'm actually with him on that. Chernobyl was, yeah.
It's a little over my literature, but...
I see where he went.
Over my literature. Yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien, dictator. Astros, asterisk.
hard to top.
I see what you did there.
That's going to be hard to top.
I see what you did there. We got to call it a day there. That was a good one. We might keep these coming in. 713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go around the NFL. We know what happened with the Texans, but there's some interesting stuff going on around the NFL that deserves our attention. The Astros threw us a little bit of a curveball yesterday. They probably saw it coming, too. See what I did there? Landry Locker, John Lopez in the loop. Let's go around the NFL. We'll take some more calls as well. In the Loop continues next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.